I have a word today that is prophetic for you, for me, for us. We're live streaming also online today, and so I'm speaking to anybody who's tuning in today that God wants to speak to you prophetically. That simply means God wants to say something, and life is going to happen. God is always doing something new. This morning, we had a sunrise. We had what we call a sunrise. It was really an earth rotation. But we didn't say we had a great rotation this morning. We said we had a great sunrise. That was the experience. We turned toward the east. Everything always happens if you turn toward the east. The east is the desirable place of God's presence. If we turn toward God's presence, good things are going to happen. So what are your expectations today? Are your expectations for sunrises or sunsets? Is your expectation night or day? We're not children of the night. We were. If you're a child of the night, you don't know the light, come to Jesus. And you can have eternal life. Not someday, right now. Eternal life is to know God as your Father, God as your Daddy, and to know Jesus Christ the Son, and that's made possible by Holy Spirit in your life. Notice I didn't say the Holy Spirit. I said Holy Spirit. I like to do that because he's a person. And I don't say, you know, like Smokey the Bear. His middle name is the, you know. Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. Jesus is Jesus. And Father God is Father God. And they're three individuals, but they're one. They can't be separated because of love. Love can't separate them. And so they are relationship. So God is doing new things. Now, I've talked to you in the past about some things that are in my yard called trees that are prophetic signs. God had me plant an apple tree in my yard in 2000. He said, I want you to plant a tree, and it's going to be a testimony to my church. I want you to plant a tree, and I want it to have six grafts. Six is the number of men. I want it to have six grafts, and I want each branch to be a different kind of apple. So I have red apples, green red apples, yellow apples. I have six branches on that little tree. And it's been a miraculous tree over the years. God has spoken to me through that crazy tree. And I've had times where it's gone into full blossom in October without a single leaf on it because God was telling me spring was coming in winter. I've had times where in August, when it had its first apple in 2001, it had its first August red, and overnight 20 blossoms appeared around that apple. And God said, had spoken to me 10 years, almost to the day, maybe to the day prior to that. He said, you've been a faithful servant. Where you've reaped one, you'll now reap 20. Wow. And when those 20 blossoms appeared, I was about to go through one of the most difficult seasons of my life with my leadership and in the church. And God was just simply prophetically speaking to me, saying, you're reaping one. I told you you would reap 20. So right now, hold fast. Everything's going to be all right.
Come on.
When you think everything is not all right, everything's going to be all right. I told you there would be a harvest of 20. And right now, you're only in the season of a harvest of one. So don't be dismayed by things that come against the harvest of one when I've destined you to have a harvest of 20. So God has spoken to me through that tree. Now, last year, God spoke to me through that tree concerning the church, because my tree is actually a very short tree. And that's also a sign. God doesn't want a tall church. He wants a church that even little children can reach the fruit.
Yeah.
And he wants a touchable, reachable.
Amen.
A human church that's also supernatural.
Come on.
He wants one that can be related to.
Amen.
Especially by the childlike and by little kids. And so that little short tree last year was loaded with fruit. But last year it did a very unusual thing. Instead of growing up, it grew out. And I had to put props underneath it. And I prophetically said the church of 2020 is a church that has to grow out. It can't grow up. It has to intentionally seek to make connections in a time when you can't connect. And so last year I even blogged on the backyard church that it's a time to be a little more intimate with God. And don't take the enemy's no as a no from God. It's simply yes in another way.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Connections, yes in another way when the world says you can't connect.
That's a good word.
Because God says you can't.
Pretty cool.
That's right.
So God is doing new things. So now this year I'm waiting, I'm looking at my trees. Now I have four trees back there. I also have a covenant tree that's a grafted pear tree. It has four grafts, and God used that to speak to me. And so looking at my trees, I was hoping, you know, 2021, I have hopes of it being this, you know, great, wonderful year after 2020. But I already spoke to you earlier this year that this is a year to stand on the rock.
Come on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Meaning this is a year to find the unshakable one, because there's going to be a lot of things shaken this year. And so far, we're, what, into the sixth month. We're just entering into the sixth month, and there's a whole lot of shaking going on.
Yeah.
And we know that shaking happens because the unshakable one walks into the room.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
The devil does not shake anything.
No.
The devil shakes when the unshakable one walks into his territory.
Yeah.
So when you see shaking going on in your world, thank Jesus, he's in your life. He's making the things that can shake, shake so that what cannot shake will remain in your life. And even grow. So I'm looking at these trees in my backyard, and I'm expecting great fruit, and guess what? There isn't great fruit.
Uh-oh.
Now, I got lots of raspberries, but I'm looking out there. There's not a lot of fruit on my apple trees or my pear trees. My six-grafted apple tree doesn't have very many apples on it. But I've been noticing the leaves. I've been there like a neon sign to me. I go out there, the leaves are the most brilliant leaves. And I heard God prophetically speak to me last week. He said, 2021, this is a season of leaves, not a season of fruit. Okay, so let's look at a couple of scriptures. In Ezekiel 47, you can read the story, Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. It describes this river that goes out from the throne. Now, Jesus said, the throne is this: if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And from inside of you will flow rivers of life-giving water.
Amen. That's right.
I changed living water to life-giving water. Because it's a giving thing, not a getting thing.
Right.
You think you're thirsty. The way that you're satisfied is you become like him. You become a life giver, and then you become a greater liver. You live in a greater way because you are the likeness and the image of your Father. He doesn't need anything.
That's right.
Ooh, I should say that again. You see, you're in the likeness and the image of your Father. He doesn't need anything.
That's right.
He gives life, he gives breath, and he gives all things. That's your daddy. You're in the likeness and the image of a giver, so the more you think like a getter, the less you are you.
Wow.
Yeah.
The more you realize you were born for today to give life to your world.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That you touch somebody nobody else can touch.
Yeah.
There's something coming off of your life that doesn't come off of anyone else's life.
That's right.
Wow.
Come on.
Because you are a son or a daughter of a father who's a giver. You're a son or a daughter of someone who doesn't need anything.
Hallelujah.
Which means your world is not defined by what you need. Your world is defined by who you are.
Come on.
Your Father says, I am.
Come on.
And he wants us to grow in that place of realizing, yes, I am. I am here. Here I am.
Wow.
Send me. Here I am. Send me.
Come on.
I'm like my Heavenly Father. I'm a giver. Now, in Ezekiel 47, it talks about this river that flows out from the throne. Here's the throne right here. You know, even today we were singing this holy place. It's right here. Christ in us is the hope of glory.
Come on.
Now, as that river flows in Ezekiel 47, there's a verse 12. It says that along the banks of the river on this side and on that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. All kinds. I'm looking in the room and I'm seeing all kinds of trees.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, they're all joined to the tree of life, but there's all kinds of trees that come because of this living water. And trees are humanity in a generational state.
Come on.
You are generational. You're not just here for a moment.
That's right.
Right now, I've got relatives in heaven casting crowns before Jesus, and because they're getting credit for everything I'm doing this morning. And they're saying, no, it's not me. It's you, Jesus. I know this. I've had an open-eye vision of my great-granddaddy doing this.
Yeah.
They're in heaven right now, along with the foundation of the church that's built upon the ceiling of what was old and the foundation of what's eternally growing and new. And they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Yes. You know, those angels, those living creatures, they're cherubim.
Yes, right.
You know what they are? That's you.
That's you.
You're a cherubim. On earth, you're a seraphim. You're a burning one. You touch people with life-giving coals because you're a minister of reconciliation. But you're seated in heavenly places in Christ as a cherubim. You can't even define that. Cherubim means mystery being. I don't know.
Wow. Wow. Amen.
You are a life giver and you're around the throne. You're a living creature. You're a life-giving creature. To the enemy, you're a lion. To God, you're an ox. You worship Him. He's the creator. You're the creature. And before others, you lead like an eagle. You soar on the heights. The Word and the Spirit are your wings. And you indulge in God. Therefore, you destroy all flesh.
Amen. Wow.
And when it comes to people, you got a face like that of a man. You're not a man. You're a new creature. New creature.
Come on.
But you have a face like that of a man. You know better than anybody else, and you know less than anybody else. Believer or unbeliever, you get a bowl and a towel just like Jesus, and you wash feet. You humble yourself, and you take the low road just like Jesus, and you make yourself of no reputation for the sake of being a life giver.
Ooh, so good.
When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't right, but it was righteous. It's not right for an innocent man to be crucified, but it is righteous. Because love demands the price.
That's right.
So what Jesus did was righteous, but it wasn't right.
Right.
Yes.
Now, my former associate pastor used to tell men, no, you can be right concerning your wife, and you can also end up right on the couch tonight.
That's a good word. That's a good word.
See, it's not about being right. It's about being in a right relationship. What does love do? Okay, when you're in a situation where things aren't right, it isn't time to demand right. It's time to do what's righteous.
That's right.
Wow.
Good.
Are you willing to be wrong for the sake of righteousness?
Ooh, ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a chewy one.
That is. So, it says, along these banks of these rivers, trees, now look at, it says, all kinds of trees, their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine.
Yeah.
Now, Revelation 22 says the same description of this same river. And it says that the leaves are for the healing of the nations.
Yeah, that's right.
Prophetically, I'm declaring to you that this year is a year of healing, not a year of fruit. This is a year of healing the nations. This is a year for the leaves of your life to bring healing to your family, healing to your neighborhood, healing to the nations. The nations don't need what's right now. The nations need healing right now. There are many causes that are right, but we don't need what's right. What we need is what is going to heal us all. Many trees, diversity of fruit.
Yep. So good.
There'll be a time when there'll be much fruit, but right now I'm telling you, the leaves are what God is bringing forth. So what are the leaves? Now, before I get into the meat of the leaves, I've got to tell a little story here on Jesus. After Jesus was crucified, He rose from the dead, and the boys were a little afraid because they thought they might be crucified too. And so they were hiding in a room, and Jesus walked into the space where they were hiding. They were isolated. They had the ultimate COVID restrictions, man. They if they went out, they would die. So they were hiding, and Jesus walked through the COVID door, and He walked into the room. And it describes this in John chapter 20, verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, being the first day of the week, being a brand new beginning, being a day past death, being something's happening in the east, a new sunrise, When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, what had the boys just done? Oh, they were wrong. They denied him. They hid from him. Even one of them, who now had done something even worse, he took his life, but he had betrayed him. And so Jesus walked into the room full of the ashamed of him. He walked into a room full of the afraid for their own lives, the room full of those who scattered and hid, and he said, "Peace be with you. You haven't done anything that has changed who I am. You haven't done anything that has changed my love for you."
Oh, wow.
And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side.
Yeah.
You know, from his side, that's the place where they pierced him after he went to sleep. The seventh place of shedding blood was Jesus gave up his spirit. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he went, he died. Like the first Adam went to sleep and trusted that God would pull from inside of him his co-heir, his helpmate. Jesus went to sleep and they pierced his side and blood and water went down to the ground, guaranteeing a co-heir, a helpmate from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation of the real estate of planet Earth. Where it broke the curse of nirvana. It broke the curse of from dust you came to dust you return. And it said from glory to glory, he's going to change you and you're going to be the glorious bride of Christ.
Wow.
Now let me tell you this morning, Jesus is not coming back for a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. There's no scripture that says that. Ephesians, when it's talking about Jesus, it says he loves his wife as though she has no spots, blemishes, or wrinkles, and he presents her. He brings her alongside of himself in everything.
Yeah.
I don't believe that I'm waiting for one day when Jesus is going to marry me. If you believe that you have to be perfect for Jesus to marry you, that's why your own marriage is so screwed up.
Oh, wow.
It's being married to Jesus that perfects you. It's being married to Jesus that gets rid of your spots, blemishes, or wrinkles, because he never sees them. He never looks at those as a qualifier or a disqualifier. He looks at his passion and love for you. That's the qualifier. What he does for you is what qualifies you to be loved. And that's what qualifies you to come alongside of him. So from his side comes he, and his hands are the testimony of what he touches you with, what he loves you with. You know, the hands are the leaves of the tree. The hands are the testimony of your life. So he shows them his hands. He shows them his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I was glad when I saw him. He showed me his hands and side. He showed me his love for me. That's how I was able to see him. When you first saw him, was it because you saw him as an angry God, or did you see who he really is?
Saw who he was.
Did you see the kindness of God that led you to repentance?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
What was the qualifier? You were finally right enough for him to love you? Or did you see him standing in your room?
Wow.
And he said to you, "Peace. Shame off of you." The qualifier is me. You haven't done anything. You haven't made any mistake that's disqualified you from being loved by me. So peace.
Yeah.
And then he breathed on them. He said, "Peace to you again." He said, "The Father sent me, I'm sending you." As the Father sent me as a life giver, I'm sending you as a life giver.
Yes.
As the Father sent me as someone, if you see me, you see the Father, I'm sending you so that it can be said, if you see me, you see the Father.
That's right. Come on.
That's good.
In the same way that the Father sent me, I'm sending you now. Peace. And he breathed on him like first Adam. God breathed in him the breath of life. God breathed now in these disciples Holy Spirit. He said, "Receive Holy Spirit." Then verse 23, ooh, this is the verse I'm after. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What does that mean? Jesus was demonstrating to them that he had forgiven them of all of their sins, therefore they were not retained and could not change who he was. You forgiving someone doesn't let them off the hook.
That's right.
It frees you from being on the hook.
That's right.
Well, good.
Amen. That's a good word.
Yeah.
It demonstrates that what they did to you didn't change you.
Amen.
That's right.
Because you don't get your identity out of what you get. You get your identity about out of who you are, a son, a daughter of God. Now, if our lives, if this year is a year of healing for the nations, we first have to be healed.
Right.
We do.
So I'm introducing what I'm about to say by saying everything is okay. Jesus is standing in your room right now. And he's saying to you, peace. There's no gap between me and you. But anything that you've done has not changed how I think of you. So peace. Now, look at my hands, look at my side, and understand that the marks that I bear are not wounds. They're tattoos.
Yeah.
They're piercings. I don't bear wounds that you gave me. I bear the marks that I willingly took that testify of how much I love you.
Amen.
Wow.
I needed you to hate me so that you would know how much I love you.
Amen. Wow. Good.
This is the family of God.
Right.
This is the family of God. Help us, Jesus. Help us to forgive.
Amen. Yes, we do.
So that the sins are not retained. That allows anyone to be free. And it makes it so that nothing that has happened to us thus far, from the outside in, has determined who we are.
That's so true.
Right.
Wow.
But it's the one who lives inside of us who said, peace, receive Holy Spirit, who determines who we are.
So good.
Now, this is a year of leaves. I believe, meaning it's a year to heal nations. It's a year of healing. The leaves of the tree provide shade from the heat. It's hot out there.
Yes.
It's hot out there. Anybody, I mean, I know the temperature in the Northwest, we're wondering when the hot's going to come. I mean, it's been teasing us. Maybe not even teasing us. It's from a distance. You have to go look on the news somewhere far south to find where there is some heat. It's not quite, but there's a couple days this week going to be a little better. But metaphorically, it's hot out there. So we need some leaves for some shade. The leaves are also the part of the tree that reaches out.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not so concerned this morning prophetically with you being able to be massive amounts of fruit as you're able to display massive amounts of the testimony of life.
Wow.
And the ability to reach out and to touch with life.
Yeah, you can do that.
So it's the part of the tree that can be seen. The leaves of the tree can be read in the same way that the leaves of a book can be read. When you open your Bible, you've got a leaf on one side and a leaf on another side. Matter of fact, in 2 Kings, when it describes the construction of Solomon's temple, it says the doors were made into the Holy of Holies. The doors into the sanctuary were a leaf and a leaf. And he uses the word leaf. Two leaves. Like you have leaves in your table. The leaves in your table are so that you can put all kinds of food on more leaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a leaf. So when you open a book, the leaves of the book are what tells the story. I'm going to say the leaves on the tree tell the story of the tree. Now, the fruit is a wonderful thing. There is fruit in this season. It may not be the kind of fruit or the massive amounts of fruit that you'll see in other seasons, but there is massive amounts of healing in this time, prophetically, for you and I. That's what God wants to happen. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man. Hey, if you're a man or a woman who trusts in the Lord, you're really blessed. Blessed is the man or the woman who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he or she will be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots to the river, spreads out its roots to that connection place of life, and will not fear when he comes. But its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought. Won't be anxious in the year of drought. It's not determined by the water that's coming out here. It's determined by how the roots can reach the water even in a dry year. They'll not cease to yield fruit. So the leaves of the tree will be full of life. If we trust in the Lord, if we hope in the Lord. So our trust in the Lord is the testimony to the world around us. They can see you according to where you trust is what your leaves will say. What you hope in will determine what your leaves will say. The extending points of your life. I mean, I look in my backyard. I looked out there again today. Man, it just, I've never seen, I mean, the leaves are just sticking out at me, prophesying to me that this is a year of leaves. What do the leaves of your life look like? God, we trust in you. God, we hope in you. We trust in you. The secret to our trust in the Lord is always found in our adherence to Him in all things. Our adherence to Him in all things. Peace. There's no gap between you and me. There's no separation between you and me. Hey, was it right for Jesus to not have a gap between Him and the boys? It wasn't right. It was righteous. According to what they did to him, he had a right to say, there's a gap between you and me, boys. You better get this right. I'm willing to come to you. No, he walked into the room when they didn't even know he could come. And he stood in their midst through the locked door. He's there right now with us. And he's saying, what you've done is not right. But if I respond with what would be right, it wouldn't be righteous. Because, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I was just in Wichita, Kansas a few weeks ago. And while I was there, God gave me a word about what is in your hand. I've been blogging on it on Wednesdays. Man, it's a good word. It's a God word. And before I preached the message, I was doing my morning run, and God was showing me my lifetimes. This is my 66th year on planet, and God showed me my lifetimes, and I realized I've lived several different lives. And all of my lives have had pain in them, but all of my lives are a good story. And as I, for like 2 days, I mean, I was flying on the airplane to get there, and then the next morning, you know, getting ready to preach, and God was taking me through my lives, and my lives as a young man, my lives as a dad of little kids, my life as a dad of friends, and a pastor, and I've had many congregations. I've had people come and people leave. What a lot of people don't understand is when you're in the place of a pastor, you get hurt a lot because you love. And I know many pastors. I know very few pastors who don't love. I don't know of any pastor who hasn't been accused of not loving. I pray with pastors who have members in their church who were former members in my church, and I had members in my church who were former members of their church. And the former members of their church told me that those pastors were terrible, and the former members of my church told them that I was terrible. I found out that when we prayed together, there were two common things among all of us, that we love God with all our heart, and we really love people. So I had to come to the conclusion, some confusion is going on. And if someone can't flourish in my flock, then where's the part of the flock they can flourish in?
Right.
So I've had many congregations. And it's all good. And those are many lives. I've lived many lives. And I have to say, there's pain in all of them, but you know, I found God in every one of my lives. You know, and if I were to go to heaven right now, hey, I've had good lives.
Yeah.
Cat's only got 9. I've had more than that. Okay, so, but the secret is that in my lives, there's a lot of things that were done that weren't right. But if I hold on to what was right and don't embrace what is righteous, what's right, relationship, I can get stuck in a past life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to get stuck in a past life because my present life is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's spelled N O W. Now.
That's right.
And that's called L I F E, life.
Amen.
So the leaves of the tree, we got to trust in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Your life will be a testimony to your connection to God, or your life could be a testimony to your disconnection from God. You won't fear the circumstances of the day.
Got that right.
Your life will be a testimony of God. You won't be anxious when things seem to be in drought. And you'll yield fruit in its season. You know, some seasons don't need a lot of fruit, they just need a little fruit. I didn't think I had too many pears last year. Man, I ended up canning all kinds of pears. The tree was hiding them up in there. I kept finding more. Normally, there's like hundreds, but you know, there was more than I could get, than I could can. So the leaves of the tree, the leaves are the story of your life. So the question is, are you planted in Him? Or are you planted in the testimonies of the world around you? 2020 was a year of God resting in your life. It was a year of God resting in your life. What God told me in December of 2019, this year will be a year of me resting in your life. The world defines rest as I'm tired, I need a break. God defines rest is I'm really satisfied.
Yes.
Let me hang out with you.
Yeah.
Man's first day was God resting. So 2020 was a time where you needed to experience God resting in your life. Mm-hmm. And God said it's not a year of momentum, it's a year of the moment. And that proved to be very true. 2020 was a great year for me. It was a lucky year in the world, but it was a great year for me. Man, so many wonderful, wonderful things happened in 2020. Supernatural things happened.
Yeah,
I got freed from, in ministry, I got freed from $33,000 worth of debt in 2020.
Wow.
Wow.
That's great.
That's miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the amazing thing is, it came from places unexpected.
Oh,
I like that.
Unexpected places, surprising places.
It's for God.
Okay. Some of it, in 2021, I've got things coming in now, fruit from many years of sowing, of people sowing into now into the ministry based on just thankfulness of miracles that have happened in years past.
Yes.
So life is good. 2020, I had a new granddaughter. She's now a little over a year old. She's wonderful. She talks. We understand each other. We both speak tongues. Psalms chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Oops. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. That would be the character, the nature, the way, even the power of the authority of the Lord.
That's right.
And in his law, in his love, in his character, nature, way, power, authority, he meditates, she meditates day and night.
Yes.
And he or she will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he or she does shall prosper.
Yes.
Prosperity in the world is, what am I going to get? Mm-hmm. Prosperity in the kingdom is, how much life did I bring?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
If you have been gifted, graced to give life to 10,000, and or you have been gifted to bring grace, to bring life to one, it's the same.
Yeah, that's right.
Testimony. I had a lady in my church years ago, and her son was born with some great difficulties, had a trach, and he was said that he wouldn't live. He lived to be 30-some years old. And she had to suction his trach out every 20 or 30 minutes. His entire life.
Wow.
She committed her entire life to take care of him. I prayed for him many, many times. And she would tell me, oh, he loves hearing you preach, Pastor. I'd walk into the house, and she'd have me preaching on the tape, and her little boy would be listening. I prayed many, many times for the miracle and for his healing. Didn't see that miracle, didn't see that healing. And one day I was in my office as a pastor, and God said to me, you're not worthy to touch that lady's strap on her shoe. Her reward is far greater than yours. See, she gave one person the fantastic life that was relevant to that one person. And if I've been called to give that same measure of life to more, but I don't measure up to that, I've done less than what she did.
Yeah.
Each of us has been given a lifetime to be life in every time. I'd say it again. Each of us has been given a lifetime to be life.
Thank you, Lord.
To be life to our children, to be life to our grandchildren, to be life to our spouses, to be life to our friends, to be life to our enemies, to be life to our world. Jesus, the Son of God, who came into our world, moved into the neighborhood as a Son of Man. He prayed for those that God gave him. He did not pray for the world. John 17, he did not pray for the world. He prayed for his world. 12 men.
Yeah.
And he didn't lose any except for the one that he was supposed to lose. And then he said, in the same way that you sent me, Father, I'm sending them. And God wants you not to pray for the world. The more you pray for the world, perhaps the more distracted you are from praying for your world.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the true testimony of praying for the world is not praying how corrected the world needs to be.
Yeah.
but it's how much life can you give to your world? And if we all give life to our world, then the world will have life.
That's right. That's how it works.
Excellent.
But if we look at the world, the enemy doesn't mind that as much as us living for our world.
Yeah.
Because then we get confused between what is right and what is righteous. And I don't need to give fruit to the world, but I need to give fruit to my world.
Yes.
I don't need to be leaves to the world, but I need to be leaves to my world.
Yes.
What are those in my world seeing? Do they see someone who trusts in the Lord? Do they see someone who hopes in the Lord? Do they see someone who's rooted in life at a time when there doesn't seem to be life? Do they see someone who is in that place flourishing? Do they see something green? Do they see something variegated? Do they see something fluorescent, translucent? The green life of God.
Yeah.
What's coming off of me? Who do I trust in? Who do I hope in? What am I planted in? I believe the testimony of our lives is what reveals the story of our lives. So is our story one of wounding? Or is our story one of being healed? I don't want my story to be a story of never having been wounded.
Right.
I want my story to be a story of always been healed.
Yes.
The doors on Solomon's temple were called leaves. Why? The doors are not to keep you out. The doors are to welcome you in.
Yes.
So the doors of the Holy of Holies, the body of Christ, are leaves to open and invite many to come. Shouldn't they be a story of having been healed?
Yes.
Not a story of never having been wounded.
Yes.
No. And they shouldn't be story of, I'm still wounded. You can come if you're careful with my wounds. They should be like Jesus. Put your fingers here. Look, put your fingers in my hand. Put your fingers in my side. They're not wounds anymore.
Yeah.
They're tattoos. They're piercings. It doesn't hurt when you put your finger there. That I took that for you. That's not a wound. That's a tattoo.
That's good.
That's a piercing. I did that for you. It doesn't hurt me. It didn't change who I am. It allowed me to manifest who I am.
Yes.
Come on. This is our family, church.
That's
right.
So is our story one of being healed? Because if our story is one of being healed, then we'll bring healing to the world. We can only bring healing to the nations if our story, what can be read, the leaves of the pages, the leaves of the trees, the leaves of the doors, are leaves of healing.
Like that.
Wow, that's good.
So the leaves are doors in the temple. There's another verse that uses that same Hebrew word, translates it leaves in Psalms 141, verse 3. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth.
Oh, yes.
Keep watch over the door, the leaves of my lips. Don't incline my heart to do any evil thing.
Yeah.
See, leaves, your leaves, your story also is defined in what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I respond to evil with evil, that's my leaves. That's my testimony. I'll conclude this by something that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Does anybody use salt on their food?
Nope.
No. My wife doesn't use salt, but food has salt in it. And what does the salt do in food? It draws, if you do it rightly, it draws the flavor out of the food. There's a saying, and it's true in Asiatic cultures. You would say when you have a big meal, you'd have all this food at the table, and you would say there's one salt at this table. It's an idiom. It would mean that we have diversity of food, but what makes everybody's food unique is there's only one salt at this table that causes everybody's food to come alive. It's the grace of God that brings the flavor out of us all.
Come on.
So Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. See, salt heals. Salt preserves.
That's right.
Salt purifies. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's meant to be a seasoning. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men.
Yeah.
You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house, all who are in the space, all who are in your sphere of influence, all who are in your oikos. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
Yeah.
And glorify your Father in heaven. What is that? That's leaves.
Right.
The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations.
Come on.
Every year in Abundant Life up in Bellingham, we call A-Life, A-Life Community Works. It's Abundant Life, shortened A-Life. Good time to get A-Life.
Yeah.
And in our church, our pastor, my son, he always challenges us at the end of every year to conclude the year by looking at what God actually said and what God did, and then ask God for a word for the new year. And he's done that for the past several years. And this year, my wife's word was health and healing. And my wife is very much a prophetic sign to the body of Christ. My word was renew. Seems like renew is also a healing word.
Yeah.
To be renewed. So I do believe that 2021, this season, however long this is, I believe that this is not a year of justice of right. I believe it's a justice of righteousness. What will give life? What will bring healing to the nations? It's time for us to trust in the Lord, to hope in the Lord, to put our roots in our connection with God together. And to let our works be works of love, works of life, that we can show people our hands and we can say, you've not done anything to me that changed who I am. Can we bring that message? Can we bring that testimony? Can we bring that spirit into our world and see our land healed? So I'm going to pray. Father, what amazing word I can say. Our Father, what we can say. You are our Father. So we come to you, our Father, in heaven. Not far away heaven, but heaven that we have access to because you made it possible. Holy Spirit, you're here right now.
Yeah.
You're inside of us. The doors of our hearts, the gates of our heart are open. We say yes to you. If there's anybody online watching right now who doesn't know you, or anybody in this room who needs to know you or be revived in knowing you, we say yes to you, Father. We thank you that you're a good, good Father.
Yes, absolutely.
And we don't determine that by the weapons that have been formed against you. You determine that by the essence of what you are and who you are. You give us life.
Yeah.
You give us breath. You give us all things. You make us come alive and you demonstrate there's no gap between us and you. You partner with us in all things. So we're grateful. Would you help us in this season to be healed of all of our wounds, spirit, soul, and physical? Even now in this room, even now online, anybody tuning in, watching, we welcome your healing balm that comes because of connection to you. We trust in you that we would be trees, something generational, planted in this place of life. That we would have the fruit for the season, but we would also have this testimony of life, that our leaves would be lush and green, lush and life-giving. That what the enemy intended for evil would demonstrate now as a testimony of healing. Would you heal us and heal our land? Would you heal our neighborhoods? Would you heal our nation? Would you heal the nations? Would you allow us as your sons and daughters to be a testimony like the leaves of the doors of the temple, like the leaves of our testimony, the story, like the leaves of the tree? Would you allow us to bring healing, healing, healing for such a time as this? You're prophesying, you're speaking, you're declaring it. Let it be. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed physically. Be healed in your soul. Be healed in your spirit. Be healed. I declare that things that have been lodged in the soul can now be released and brought into the spirit, where Holy Spirit is one and all things are made new. Wounds that lodged in the soul, let them now come into the spirit. Let the spirit of your body be enlarged right now. Let your spirit enlarge our spirit right now. And let things that have been anchored in the realm of the soul now be brought into the spirit. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. I say peace to you. As the Father sent me, I now send you. I send you. I send you. Be the testimony of life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wow. Good work.